All right. How's everybody doing? Yeah? That's what I like to hear. Get a little energy going. So over this sermon series, we've been talking about how Paul in 1 Corinthians shared, "I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase." And so in our study of Acts, we've kind of seen this same pattern happening, being lived out by the Apostle Paul, in the fact that he starts out in Ephesus, he tells them the gospel message, and then when they go, "Great, I want to hear," he says, "I'll be back. I can't stay. I've got to go." And so Paul goes, leaving people to care for them, and he begins to water. He begins to go back to Jerusalem, go back to Antioch in Syria, and encourage them. He begins to go back to the places where he had been before and strengthens their faith. And finally, he comes back to Ephesus and imparts to them a better understanding of God's word. And so we see, as we're looking at Paul here, that Paul is living out this planting and watering. And so now we finally get to a place where we start to see God's increase. We see that, we saw a little bit of that increase last week when we saw that those who believed and were baptized, Paul prayed for them, and they received the miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit. And so it continues on in Acts chapter 19, verses 8 through 10. Paul entered the synagogue and spoke boldly there for 3 months, arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God. But some of them became obstinate. They refused to believe and publicly maligned the way. So Paul left them. He took the disciples with him and had discussions daily in the lecture halls of Tyrannus. This went on for 2 years, so that all the Jews and Greeks who lived in the province of Asia heard the word of the Lord. Now, as we look at this and look at how God gives increase, God increases through spreading the word. Paul preaches daily, and God provides powerful increase. You know, as I was sitting down and reading through this passage, I was thinking to myself, you know, Luke probably would have liked to have had Microsoft Word. Because when you read this passage, it would have been so easy for him to go copy, paste, copy, paste, right? Because Paul goes into the synagogue and preaches again. Some of them don't want to hear it again. Some of them malign the way again. And I just feel like he could have done such a great thing for Theophilus and gotten it to him so much faster if he could have just cut out Ephesus and cut out Corinth and cut out and just copied and pasted all the way through, because it is such a normal pattern that we've seen throughout this time. But what also is extremely normal is what God uses these negative words to do. You know, we're in political season, right? How many of you have seen a political ad within the last 2 days? Right? I am so glad I know every piece of dirty laundry about all of the politicians I have the opportunity to vote for this year. How they didn't show up for their job, how they're going to take away my tax breaks, how they cheated on their taxes. I'm so thankful that I get to know about every dirty, bad thing that they've ever done. Right? Aren't you? Makes it so easy to vote when you know how horrible the people you're voting for are. But the funny thing about negativity, right? Like when you hear these negative ads about people, and especially as you start to mature, you start to look and realize that people, when they're negative like that, do it for a reason, don't they? They've got some sort of agenda behind what they're trying to do. They're trying to convince you of something by tearing another person down. And yet, when they do that, you remember names, don't you? I remember the name Walker Stapleton because it's the only name I've heard over the last 3 weeks. that he's running for governor. Why? Because that's nothing but attack ads that I've seen. And I'm not promoting anybody, please understand. I'm not here to get political with you. I'm just making a point that the more you hear a name, the more you hear a message, the more you start to recognize it. You know, we've seen it over and over and over again. I'm trying to figure out how close to go with some of this stuff because I don't want to, we're steering away from politics. We're going to leave it over here. But you understand how that process works. And you start to understand that negative messages don't always portray what the people who put the negative message out are trying to do they? We see this all the time where somebody says something bad, but if you look and you see something different, your attitude changes. And so the funny thing is that these Jewish people who don't believe in Jesus are sitting there maligning the way. They're saying horrible things about Jesus. They're running him down, saying there's no way he could be the Messiah. And guess what? Now this guy who they hate is known throughout all of Asia. He's spread through all of Asia. Why? Because God was providing the increase. And many of us, when it comes to our faith, we get really shy. We get very, very bashful about what we believe because we're afraid of what might happen. What if I tell somebody I love Jesus and then they give me all this scientific reasoning that I don't know how to refute? I'm not a scientist. I don't know how to refute that. Or what if they just have all these horrible questions? They ask me stuff, if God is so good, why is there pain in the world? And what if they come with all of these different difficult questions and I just don't have the answer for all of the things that they're throwing at me? It'd probably be best if I just stay quiet, if I don't say anything. But here is Paul in the midst of these people, and granted, he is a magnificent teacher, but he preaches and preaches, and even with his reasoning, he's not able to convince them all. There are still people that speak out negatively against him. And so I sit there and I look at this and I think to myself, why can't God use my message? If I tell people my story, if I tell people about how I was broken, about how God took a young man who was lost and confused about who he was, a young man who believed he was too broken for God to fix, and how he changed me, what might that God be able to do with that message? What might he be able to do for that next person who needs to hear that they're not too broken, that they're not too far away? And even if people run me down, well, you're just one of those weak people who need a God to get through life. Okay, fine. You're absolutely right. You don't realize you are too, but it's okay. Why? Because that message is still there, isn't it? And it has a chance to spread because we put it out there. Because we talk about what Jesus has done in our lives and how his impact has made such a big difference in their life. You know, I was talking to a friend the other day who has just really impressed me with his ministry, with the way that he cares for people, the way that he just lives out his life. And it just seems like everything he does is influencing somebody. It's just kind of like, you know, and I see people that he's working with, I see them changing, I see their lives evolving. And so I looked and I'm telling him, like, man, I'm so inspired by you. I'm so inspired by your faith. It makes me want to step out more boldly. And I'm just amazed, like, how are you able to accomplish all the things that you're able to accomplish? And as I was talking to him, he said something I never expected. I don't know why I should have. But he simply said, you know what? All I do is I see a small need and I try and take care of that need. And when I start to get overwhelmed by all the big stuff that I can't fix, I just pray and God brings other people to fill those pieces in. That God finds a way to plug those gaps. And so I look and I'm thinking, wow, God's doing great things here through this person. And what I didn't realize was how many other people were wrapped into that as well. But what happens if we don't take those steps, if we're not willing to share, if we're not willing to step out in faith, to plant, to water? Where's God's freedom to give the increase? The second thing that I see here is not just through the malignment, that God is more powerful than their message. God is more powerful than their slander. Is that God increases through showing his power. In Acts 19, verses 11 and 12, it says, God did extraordinary miracles through Paul, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him were taken to the sick, and their illnesses were cured, and evil spirits left them. You know, it's amazing how God, in order to ensure that his message was understood, took and used Paul, a handkerchief. I wish I'd have brought one. I never think of these things. I'm not one of those preachers that's good with like the gadgets and stuff, but how cool would it be if I had a handkerchief right here that you could look at and think, Paul touches it, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, it gets dragged off someplace else, and somebody else is healed. It's a little piece of cloth, an apron, something you wrap around your waist. And God is using that powerfully to make a difference. Now, I think it's important for us to remember that it says that God moved powerfully through Paul. And I say this because I think at times we can do kind of what I did with my friend. I start to look at him as somebody that's doing great things, and I start to forget that it is God who's doing great things through him. Now, I don't want you to get it wrong. If you see godly people, you should look at them with respect. In 1 Corinthians 11, 1, just like we sang, follow me as I follow the example of Christ. If you see godly people, it's well worth your time to figure out how they got to be that way and to seek to be those kind of people yourselves. But the reality is that if we start to elevate people, and we don't recognize it's what God is doing through them, we are going to get hurt. When I started in young adults ministry, the young men would tout me to all their buddies, and I'd say, whoa, 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 don't put me on that pedestal, because when I fall off, it's going to hurt us both. The pedestal's not big enough for me to stand on, because there's only one person who deserves a pedestal, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? I think about, what would it have been like for those believers that were there on the day that Peter stood up, left sitting with the Gentiles to go sit with the Jews, if Peter was the one that they had exalted? I think about what would have happened to John Mark's faith when Paul said, you can't come because you walked out on me. And John Mark had elevated Paul. And yet we do that as human beings today. We take preachers, teachers, elders, and we put them up on these pedestals, and we need to make sure that we remember who's giving the increase. Because while we are open to sharing God's word, while we're open to trying to be a people of encouragement, it is never us that is doing the work. It's also important to realize that God will never hang us out to dry. You see, when these men started maligning Paul, God made it very clear whose side he was on. And I want to go back and I want to think again about this message that people are receiving, this negative message that people are receiving. Now, if we are reasoning people, we never just accept a negative message, do we? Reasoning people don't just accept what they hear. They look into it. They examine it, and they study to see what the truth is. So I, if I'm looking at a politician and somebody runs a smear campaign, I don't just instantly go, oh, well, it must be true. I have to go and do my research. I have to look and ask myself, is this true? Like, for example, if a politician isn't doing their job or they're gone, why were they gone? Did they have other places they had to be that superseded that? Why were they gone? Those things are things that we have to ask ourselves if we're reasoning people. And God takes Paul's message and gives it validity, because when somebody comes to you and says, this person is a liar, there's no power in this person, this is not the Messiah, and then I can turn around and look and see these people being healed. And not just because Paul is standing there laying hands on them, but because he sent an apron to go and to heal these people. It's going to make you think about that message, isn't it? It's going to make you step back and go, you know what? I need to find out more about what's going on. And I think about that even more so. Like, if I wasn't in Ephesus and I'm hearing this message coming through about Jesus and I'm hearing bad things, but then somebody goes, but wait a second, you're not going to believe what's happening there. People are being healed in all of these powerful ways. It's going to change the way people think about that message, isn't it? Good people do good things. Jesus tells us you will know them by their fruit. And so it becomes clear that those who are maligning the way are not the ones that understand what's going on. And the same thing is true for you and me. If we are willing to share our faith, if we are willing to step out, even if it seems like a negative thing where somebody runs us down, I'm just telling you about what I know. If we stand up, God is going to do the same thing for us and use our message powerfully. You see, when we share our faith with gentleness and respect, no matter what else anybody else does, it's going to make an impact. We can look and say, okay, well, you know, I've seen in the Old Testament how that's true. We've got the wall of faith in Hebrews, right? People who had faith and God answered. And we can look at the New Testament and we can say, okay, well, I see this happening then, but where's the reality in our lives now? Where do we see it? You know, it wasn't that long ago when it was against the law to be a Christian in Russia. And there was a young girl named Maria who had come to faith in Jesus Christ. And in her school, she was mocked, she was tormented, and ridiculed for being so foolish to believe in Jesus Christ. But Maria didn't change. She kept loving the Lord. She kept being kind. She kept being gentle. And the meanest girl of all, Anna, came to her one day and said, Maria, why? Why don't you strike back? Why don't you fight? Why don't you say something? Why do you put up with this? And Maria looked at her and said, Jesus loved me so much. How can I not do the same? And Anna broke down in tears and she said, do you think Jesus could love me that much? Anna came to love the Lord. She would end up going to a prison camp for sharing her faith. That's the power of God. Not the power of Maria. That's the power of God to shape and to change hearts. It's not something that happened a long time ago and doesn't happen today. It's something that happens every day when we simply seek to live and look like Jesus Christ. The third point, as we move forward and looking at God-giving increase, is that God only brings increase through true faith. In Acts chapter 19, verses 13 through 16, he says, "Some Jews who went around driving out evil spirits tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. They would say, 'In the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out.' Seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. One day an evil spirit answered them, 'Jesus I know, and Paul I know about, but who are you?' Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them and overpowered them all and gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding." Well, that's a bad day at work, huh? You know, the thing is, and this is something that I want you to understand, because unfortunately I think it's becoming too common in Christianity, is that there is no magic in a name. Okay? Saying Jesus is not a magic coin or token or whatever that you can just toss out and it instantly frees you up from whatever is going on around you. You know, whether we like to believe it or not, most of us have superstition in our lives, don't we? Has anybody ever in the middle of a game gone and changed their jersey because you're just hoping it'll help your team play better? Guilty. I don't know. I know better, right? I know better. I know it's not going to impact how that game turns out, but I just want to believe I can make an impact on that game. And the reality is that we have become a superstitious people. We have this mindset, like if I just say Jesus, or if I wear a cross, or if I say a prayer, that it's somehow just the words are like Gandalf with his staff going, "You shall not pass," and bam, and it just stops. But that's not how things work. That's not how God works, because we can see clearly, if the name was enough, if all it needed to be said was Jesus, these poor men would not have been naked running away trying to figure out what happened to them. Now, I want to emphasize the power of God here, because that's really what we're about, right? Is emphasizing his name. But one of the things that stands out to me is that this demon says, "Jesus, I know. Paul, I know about. But who are you?" You know, one of the things that stands out true coming from a military background is that you know the big people who are your enemy, right? Do you think that there was a German or a Japanese officer that didn't know who Patton was? They knew who the generals were. They knew who the people with power were. They knew who was waging war against them. And they might hear of like some captain or something if they were behaving bravely, but they wouldn't be like a major thought, because that little captain's not going to make a big impact on their war. And that demon, in saying, "I know Jesus and I've heard about Paul," is basically bringing it back to the point of where the real power comes from. Paul was able to be effective because of Jesus, but Paul was not the power. That demon wasn't afraid of Paul. When he said Paul's name, that demon didn't tremble in fear. But he had to confess Jesus, didn't he? "I know Jesus." And so when we look at the power that comes, we need to recognize that. So that's a little side piece, a little extra thing there. But the real thing that we have to look at is asking ourselves the question, why didn't it work? Why didn't it work to say, "In the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, go away"? And it was because they lacked faith. In Matthew 17, verses 14 through 20, it says, "When they came to the crowd, a man approached Jesus and knelt before him. 'Lord, have mercy on my son,' he said. 'He has seizures and is suffering greatly.' He often falls into the fire and into water. I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him. You unbelieving and perverse generation, Jesus replied, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me. Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of the boy, and he was healed at that moment. Then the disciples came to Jesus in private and asked, why couldn't we drive it out? He replied, because you have so little faith. Truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible. You see, it's not the name. It's not wearing a cross. It's not saying the right prayer that is powerful. It is the belief in the one and only Savior of our world. It is true and complete faith in Jesus Christ. You see, John tells us in 1 John 5, verses 14 through 15, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of him. You see, this is the real power to me of understanding where the true strength comes from. It's when we line ourselves up with God's will. When we seek to be who he called us to be, and we pray in line with that. We have faith in line with that. You see, Paul was able to heal people with a handkerchief. Why? Because his goal was to spread the gospel message. His goal was so that all would come to know Jesus Christ and to be saved. These seven sons of Sceva, their goal was to make a name for themselves, to build a reputation. They didn't have faith in Jesus. They didn't believe in him. They thought somehow that Paul had figured out this magic potion. And you know, the only real magic that we have is the fact that in true faith in Jesus Christ, in dying to ourselves, being buried with him in baptism, and rising to a new life, that he can reshape and change us through faith in him. See, we must realize that all increase comes from God. He will use us to do his work and to spread his gospel message. He will move powerfully through us to accomplish his goals and to work for his kingdom if we have faith. So that's the question I have to ask you today. Obviously, if you're here, you've heard of Jesus. But do you have faith? Because it's not about a name. It's not about a trinket. It's not about a right prayer. It's not about doing all the right things. It's about believing in him and what he can use you to do. Are you at a place where you're willing to surrender your life to him? To put your faith and trust that he can do in you things that you never dreamed were possible? Are you willing to let go and trust God? To see him move powerfully? Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, it is so amazing having your scriptures to see who you are, to see how when things seem like they're at their worst, when people are speaking against us and attacking us and wrongly persecuting us, that you're always there and that you're using our humble messages to spread your word. And Lord, I ask that we will be a people here today who are ready to plant. We're people that are ready to just tell people what you've done in our lives, to share the story, to share your gospel message so that all may come to know you. Lord, that we're willing to water in whatever ways you call us, whether it's through encouragement or instruction, through strengthening, whatever you call us to, that we will be a people who seek that wholeheartedly. But Lord, most of all, strengthen our faith. Help us to put away all doubt. Help us to believe in who you are so that we don't falter when those we trust stumble, so that we don't falter in our own attempts to control the things around us. You are the strength. You are the increase. And we thank you for that. Lord, if there's anyone who has need here, I pray that you'll open their hearts and help them to know that they are loved, that we want to pray for them, that we want to encourage them. And Lord, if there's anybody here who has not given their life to you yet, I pray that they're willing to make that step today, that they will open their hearts and surrender themselves to you in baptism. I pray this all in your Son, Jesus Christ, most holy name. Amen. If you have any needs, please feel free to come forward while we stand and sing.